If you are like most people, you have an assortment of friends and family you can call upon in times of trouble. For instance, if you woke up in the middle of the night and saw a masked woman trying to crawl through your bedroom window, you might call your mother or father to help you push her back out. If you found yourself hopelessly lost in the middle of a strange city, you might ask the police to give you a ride home. And if you were an author, locked in an Italian restaurant that was slowly filling up with water, you might call upon your acquaintances in the locksmith, pasta, and sponge businesses to come and rescue you. But the Baudelaire children's trouble had begun with the news that their parents had been killed in a terrible fire, so they could not call upon their mother or father. The siblings could not call upon the police for assistance, because the police were among the people who had been chasing them all night long. And they could not call upon their acquaintances, because so many of the children's acquaintances were unable to help them. After the death of the Baudelaire parents, Violet, Klaus, and Sunny had found themselves under the care of a variety of guardians. Some of them had been cruel. Some of them had been murdered. And one of them had been Count Olaf, a greedy and treacherous villain who was the real reason they were all by themselves in the middle of the night, standing in front of the Last Chance general store, wondering who in the world they could call upon for help.
"Poe,"
Sunny said finally. She was talking about Mr. Poe, a banker with a nasty cough, who was in charge of taking care of the children following their parents' death. Mr. Poe had never been particularly helpful, but he was not cruel, murdered, or Count Olaf, and those seemed to be reasons enough to contact him. "I guess we could try Mr. Poe," Klaus agreed. "The worst he could do would be to say no." "Or cough," Violet said with a small smile. Her siblings smiled back, and the three children pushed open the rusty door and walked inside.
"Lou, is that you?"
called out a voice, but the children could not see who it belonged to. The inside of the Last Chance general store was as crowded as its outside, with every inch of space crammed full of things for sale. There were shelves of canned asparagus and racks of fountain pens, next to barrels of onions and crates full of peacock feathers. There were cooking utensils nailed to the walls and chandeliers hanging from the ceiling, and the floor was made out of thousands of different kinds of tiles, each one stamped with a price tag.
"Are you delivering the morning paper?" the voice asked.
"No,"
Violet replied, as the Baudelaires tried to make their way toward the person who was talking. With difficulty, they stepped over a carton of cat food and rounded a corner, only to find rows and rows of fish nets blocking their way.
"I'm not surprised, Lou,"
the voice continued, as the siblings doubled back past a stack of mirrors and a pile of socks, and headed down an aisle filled with pots of ivy and books of matches.
"I usually don't expect the daily punctilio until after the volunteers fighting disease arrive.